This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I'm Listening is Odyssey's commitment to mental health conversations. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, depression, anxiety, or mental illness, help is available. Call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's 988.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
Heard about the raids yesterday in Allen.
Yeah, these are interesting here. Lots of story here.
There's several businesses in Allen up in smoke, so to speak, after a series of raids yesterday. The targets, legal hemp shops in the area, eight of them in all. Allen police, along with the DEA, they got the feds involved here. They say these CBD vape shops, dispensaries, to call them what you want, they had been selling products, according to police, with more than the permitted level of THC. Five people arrested, a lot of the inventory confiscated. The San Marcos-based attorney David Sergi represents the shops targeted. We had a chance to catch up with him just moments ago. He says the actions yesterday by law enforcement officials were over the line.
I am shocked and appalled that they had to come in with guns drawn when they could have simply walked in and asked for whatever product, taken whatever product they need. This was overkill and a lot of boys playing with their toys.
What are the rules in Texas?
Texas legislature in 2018 adopted a bill that reclassified hemp, which is any Delta 9 product that has less than 0.03 Delta 9 THC. So anything that has under 0.03 Delta 9 THC by dry weight is legal hemp.
And they claim that this was way over 0.03, correct?
That's what they claim. There's a problem with the testing mechanism. There's two different types of testing. Number one is a type of gas chromatography that essentially heats up the product. And when the product is heated up, it turns into Delta 9. When it is, there's another type of product of testing that does not heat it, and hemp itself will not be, will not show up as Delta 9 because it's hemp. So when they use faulty testing mechanisms, they get faulty and artificial results.
Five people were arrested, and it says that some products were confiscated. What did they take?
My understanding is they came in and just vacuumed any Delta product, any THCA flower product. I think they took some Kratom. They left these stores in an absolute mess.
Are these sorts of raids going on in other parts of the state?
There have been a couple of raids. I can tell you that right now I'm trying to settle a case with another municipality that did something similar, and they realized that they were wrong. We have sued them about that, and they're trying to resolve it with us right now. You know, we're not looking for the fight. We are looking to establish lanes of business that the legislature has established for us so my clients can continue to employ people, so my clients can sell products, because people don't understand that, for example, the VFW and our veterans use a lot of these products in place, for example, of opioids, because they have pain. They feel that opioids are addictive. These products are not. They are trying to go back to the, how can I put it? You know, what was the name of the movie? Reefer Madness. And it's not. This is not an issue of a bunch of hippies trying to get high. This is a issue of honest people, veterans, elderly, people with pain, utilizing a product that they think helps themselves, that the legislature and the federal government have made legal by redefining what hemp is. You know, again, this seems to be nothing but a political stunt. We agree that product that is illegal, we agree that product that legitimately tests above 0.03 shouldn't be sold. We want to work with law enforcement. You know, we've established good working relationships with numerous different municipalities, because we don't want this kind of thing to happen.
And that is Attorney David Sergi. He's representing the shops raided yesterday in Allen. He's calling this an escalation of the tactics he says he's seen used in other parts of the state to intimidate businesses selling legal hemp-based products. It is confusing. They said, police said that some of the stuff, you're allowed 0.03%.
Yeah.
Which, that's like nothing.
Uh-huh.
And they said that some of the stuff they confiscated yesterday was over 7%, and in one case up to 78%.
Now, that'll knock you. I don't care who
THC.
You are. Yeah, you can be the most experienced weed guy in the world. You're taking 78% in any kind of gummy, you're falling on your butt.
You're going to the hospital. So anyway, he's actually on his way up here to Collin County to get these guys out of jail and to fight this case. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, earlier this week, big announcement out of UT Dallas. The president at that school, Richard Benson, announced he's going to be stepping down as soon as they find a successor. That's at UTD. That news comes just 1 week after SMU president R. Gerald Turner, who's been on the hilltop for more than 30 years,
long time,
announced that this would be his final academic year. You add to that UNT Dallas president, Bob Mong. He retired in July. So there's three colleges here in North Texas, big ones, with an opening at the top. So is that a coincidence, a trend? Let's bring in an expert to help break it down right now. We're joined by Dan Bowman. He's a reporter at the Chronicle of Higher Education with us right now on KRLD. So what's the answer here? Are there larger forces at play in higher education, or is this just coincidental?
I mean, it's a mix of both. You know, the average length of a college president's tenure nationally is around 6 years, which is on par with what we saw with President Benson out of UT Dallas. And then also at North Texas. A 30-year career is really just extraordinary, and rarely in higher education anymore do you see people have that amount of time at, leading a university. At the same time, you know, it's the political atmosphere in Texas, you know, makes it all the more difficult, you know, because it creates all these situations in dealing with the legislature and competing against, you know, the wide array of colleges that a board may eventually decide, hey, we need younger blood in here. We need a different direction. And so, you know, it might not be willing to let somebody run a university for, you know, more than a decade.
You know, you mentioned 30 years. That's our Gerald Turner. He was at SMU for a long time. That's a heck of a legacy.
Absolutely. No, and like I said, it's rarely is a college president afforded that much a time over a university. And it really speaks to both his relationship with his board, but also, you know, his capacity to raise donations and lead the SMU, you know, through obviously the athletic scandals of the 90s, but, you know, to great success here, you know, in the 2020s.
How are college presidents graded these days? And has that changed over the years?
It's certainly become, you know, you're basically accountable for everything. You know, obviously, as leaders of taxpayer-funded institutions, you know, there's a certain expectation of this is what a college president, this is the type of institution you lead. But we also see from, you know, Liz McGill at the University of Pennsylvania and Claudine Gay at Harvard, these are also these are also people who can develop national reputations, and it become you're not being just judged on, say, your academics or, you know, is the institution, you know, financially healthy or not. You also, you know, you're very much trying to representing the university yourself, and, you know, rarely do universities want.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Their college presidents to be the story of the day, right? You know, right. They would rather have that be academics or students or you know, some program as opposed to, you know, the personnel at the top.
Dan, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Good insight. Dan Bowman, he's with the Chronicle of Higher Education.
A fourth person has died following that wreck in Wise County this morning that also sent nearly a dozen others to the hospital.
Texas DPS says a van registered in Florida was driving north on Highway 287 near Alvord when suddenly the driver lost control. Sergeant Tony De La Serta.
It veered off the left side of the roadway, so into the median. The driver then overcorrected to the opposite side, which caused the vehicle to side skid and eventually roll over multiple times.
The driver was among three people who died when they were ejected from the car. A fourth person died at the hospital. Seven others went to the hospital by ambulance, three by helicopter. Only one person was wearing a seatbelt, and that person is okay. This woman witnessed the accident.
Saw the car accident. It was pretty awful. I saw a body.
Investigators are still trying to figure out where the van was heading and why the driver might have lost control. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Got an update for you out of Grapevine. Police find a little boy that went missing this morning. He is okay. He missed the bus and should have walked to school this morning, but he never made it. Caused an all-day search. Police had to put out an Amber Alert. Grapevine police tell us he actually went to a friend's house. When his friend got home from school this afternoon with his mom, they found him asleep on their couch. They're still talking to him to get the more details about it, but everything's okay with him.
The man who was arrested for shooting a 2-year-old was posted now an $800,000 bond and is out of jail. LP Phillips has the story you're hearing first on KRLD.
Over the noon hour, 50-year-old Jason Kane came up with the cash required to make bond and is now out of jail on an ankle monitor. Kane will be confined to his home. He was arrested shortly after a 2-year-old was shot and critically wounded in the area of Norsworthy Drive and Sweetwood in the White Rock Hills neighborhood. The girl's parents told police they were delivering food in the neighborhood when a man on a motorcycle passed by them close on the street. Court documents say both honked horns at one another. The bike driver turned around, chased down the car, and opened fire, wounding the girl. Kane was arrested a short time later. The girl was last reported in stable condition. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Cops in Plano trying to figure out how this happened in Plano. It involves a couple of men from out of state. Cops found Patrick King's body in the backyard of a home on the northwest side of Plano. He's from Elburn, Illinois. They arrested James Swetland of Los Angeles as he got on board a flight at DFW. Plano police officer Jennifer Chapman says they're still trying to figure out how they knew each other.
That's up to the investigators to determine that. The investigation is still ongoing, and we hope to have additional information shortly.
She says they still don't have a motive.
Another step towards transforming Fort Worth's Stop 6 neighborhood today, leaders broke ground on a mixed-income multifamily development on Ramey Avenue.
The funding comes from a federal grant awarded to Fort Worth for revitalizing neighborhoods, plus several partnerships with local companies. Stop 6 has long struggled with higher unemployment rates and crime from the rest of the city.
In a few short months, we're going to be able to welcome 80 families across the street into beautiful townhomes and garden-style apartments at affordable rents with amenities they deserve, in a neighborhood that's being redefined.
Other efforts here include sidewalk and streetlight improvements, demoing vacant buildings, installing police cameras, and cleaning up parks. And besides affordable housing, there's also plans to bring a new community center here, as well as an aquatic center. As far as Babers Manor, the construction is expected to take 18 months until it is complete for families to move in.
That's Alana Quillen reporting from NBC 5. It's getting tougher to afford a home in North Texas, but it's still a little bit easier here than the rest of the country. It's especially true in the burbs. Go Banking Rates took a deep dive into the suburbs that are growing but still closer to affordable, looked at the population change between 2020 and 2022, and have homes that are valued at under $500,000. In all, Texas put 8 cities on the list in the top 50. Canyon Lake finished tops in Texas in 5th place. It's just north of San Antonio. North Texas put 4 cities there. Louisville is 11th, Waxahachie number 20, Midlothian 27, Wiley in 34th place. Number 1 on the fastest growing affordable suburbs is Mooresville, North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.